Hey everybody, welcome to the 47th episode of the Der Friendly Geordies podcast. I'm Tom, and we've got Robbie here.
Hi guys.
And we've got Jordan here.
Hello everybody, nice to see you again, or should I say hear you, and also...
The Queen's here. What's that?
Why did you play that?
I didn't mean to. That just my computer stuffed up. Sorry.
All right. Well, that can introduce our special guest today, who is Isaac. Hi, Isaac.
Hey. Great to be here. Yeah.
So, Isaac has flown all the way from Adelaide to be here today. And coincidentally, he's also going to be on...
Why am I allowed to know yet?
Yeah, you're about to find out now.
Great.
So, Isaac is...
I had a feeling you were from the Northern Territory. I don't know why, because you kept saying, you'll love it. You'll love it. And I thought, yes, it's Crocodile Dundee.
So, yeah. Isaac's mates with Matt Tarrant, who we often talk about as the celebrity
dark
magician.
Wizard.
Yep.
The Dark Wizard. I left the Dark Wizard's lair to come up here and be here with you guys.
Yeah, well, welcome.
He's watching.
So Isaac is a hypnotist.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, this is great. This is true radio.
It's just the reaction we wanted.
Yes. Yeah.
So
really
we've been trying
my day, Isaac. I mean, I thought beforehand, like, nice guy, but you know, this is next level.
Yeah, so we're having some fun.
Yeah, we just had psychologists coming in talking about the brain and Robbie being, you know, any problems he might have, or Jordan.
and you can find out what those problems are. Not as saucy as what we thought, but still, Jesus, spicy stuff. That's pretty good. God, wouldn't want to be you, Robbie. Anyway.
Yeah, so we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum, which is Isaac hypnotizing you, Jordan, later today.
Okay, great.
All right. Are you okay with that?
I can take both, Simon.
Yeah, we need your verbal.
Yeah, I'm more than okay with this. Do you? Cool. I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Okay. Excellent.
Awesome. Okay, that's good sign. All right, so before we get to all that, though, we'll go through our other segments for today, and we'll do that towards the end. So first up, Tyrannosaurus Chess. So that is where we play a continuous week-by-week chess game with the audience, where you guys all make a move against the three of us.
I suppose the traditional question where the answer is always, no, mate, don't know anything about it. But Isaac, are you good at chess? Or?
It's been a while since I played.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, excuses are already coming out. I'm certainly no master chess player, but yeah. Played a few games.
Well, neither is Tom.
Yeah, turns out I'm not either, yeah.
But he decided he would verse everyone who listens to this podcast in chess and was confident enough to think that he would win. He's really on the back foot.
Well, I've made a bit of a comeback lately because of Samuel Choi's awful move. But yeah, so my move this week is e4 to c3.
If that means anything to you, Isaac.
So I'm moving the horse head back to where it was. Wait.
There it is. And that's why they call it Tyrannosaurus Chess.
Our longest running segment. All right, so Jordan, Total War. Tell us about Rome.
Oh, we're getting straight into that. Okay.
I guess so, yep.
You got any music cued for it, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm just getting it now.
And he's got that concentration face of somebody who hates people but loves sounds.
So yeah. That's what that face looks like.
All right.
Take us back. The Emperor Augustus has just died. The question remains, who will succeed him?
So we're talking about Emperor Tiberius today, right?
All right.
Remember him? Anyway, so pretty much greatest guy in the Roman Empire, the stock standard of emperors, but actually now when we look back at it, we realize that the news was a little bit too good, you know? Like it'd always just be like, some say he was a god. When you see stuff like that in it, you think, okay, like, he clearly wasn't. So this is obviously a really, really airbrushed version of history. He was probably like Stalin, right? Because everywhere in the emperor, in the empire, there's just pictures of this magnanimous emperor who we know for a fact was a skinny, weedy little pasty man. But he is the... Have you ever seen that statue of a man that's got great biceps in a fantastic Emperor armor, and then there's like this little baby on his leg being like, please feed me. You know that one?
Yeah.
That's Emperor Augustus, right?
The baby or the...
No, not
the
baby. You think that's him? Why?
Yeah. I thought you said it was really weedy.
No, but like I'm saying, I think you misunderstand. I'm saying that he is, he just got way too much positive press.
Mm.
For what he was, he's the ancient world's John Howard. Lots of hype, but I don't know. Like when you look back at his reign, it was extremely long, extremely peaceful. That was the beginning of the Golden Age. Was Emperor Augustus, who was also the first emperor of Rome. Then along came because his wife kept killing or plotting against all of his heirs, which were much better militarily in terms of their governance experience. All of these things, more together psychologically as well. But she kept finding ways to assassinate them, finding ways to banish them. To one of them, spent his entire life on a rock. What a fucked punishment! Just kill the guy. Don't you reckon?
How big was the rock? How big was the rock?
It was like he actually said, like, I'll find a rock for you where you can only walk 10 paces. Yes, it'll take me some time, but I'll find it. that was his threat to this guy.
Wow!
And he spent his life there. Emperor Augustus, and there was just a guard on the island that stood there. And they take shifts, obviously, but his job was, if he tried to swim away, to just stab him.
Right.
So he just had to stay there. Eventually, what happened was Emperor Augustus realized that his wife was making it so her son became the next emperor. So he secretly went over to say, I'm really sorry about this. And that guy was just like, well, I'm sorry. Sorry's not good enough. I've been here for 30 years.
Standing on a rock.
Yeah, just on that rock for decades. And so he was just, and I'm pretty sure that he had some blood relative or something like that. So Augustus was just like, I failed you as your father. Went back. Then Livia caught wise to this and poisoned him. Put in the son as the heir, which was Emperor Tiberius, who he tried to make himself out to be Emperor Augustus, but he just wasn't. He played the game completely wrong. So the whole game at the beginning of the whole Julio-Claudian period, so from Augustus to Nero, was to pretend that you weren't the emperor, that you were just president for life, like that. That was the thing that you were always saying in the Senate, that no, it's just as soon as all the riffraff has gone down and everything's fine and calm, I'll give power back to the Senate. But it had been calm for a century and they were still there.
Mm.
But Emperor Tiberius said that way too much. So the Senate started saying, well, can we get it back? So he had to slaughter half of Rome's nobility to begin with, just to calm everything down. Anyway, on top of that, Emperor Augustus made him marry his daughter and divorce the wife of his life. And ever since that psychologically scarred him forever after that. So he lived for decades longer, but he was never able to see his wife again. She was banished to the far-off new regions of the empire. So he was a very twisted man. He got a lot of pleasure out of seeing people tortured as a result of that. He liked doing that as just that classic psychological play out thing of when something bad happens to you, you just keep doing it to other people. So he was really into that punishment. He became more and more of a recluse, was never in the empire, was never in Rome. He was always on this luxury island that was just filled with boys and girls having orgies everywhere. And he'd always just sit there eating grapes, watching heaps of slaves fuck each other. I was like, this is the most decadent lifestyle ever, right? One day, a fisherman came over to him and said, I've caught this beautiful fish for you. And it was a huge bream or something like that with a lot of scales on it. And then he was just like, how dare you? I don't need a fish. I'm the emperor. This is an outrage of a gift to me. I had the king of Egypt in here a day before giving me a damn closet. And you give me a fish, rub it on his face. And then got the soldiers to rub it really harshly on his face. So he was just bloody and raw as he walked out. And he was laughing to himself. And he said, what are you laughing at? And then he said, I'm just glad that I didn't bring the crab. And he's like, stay here, get the crab. Disfigured this man. A complete wreck of a human being. Eventually what happened was, because he was not ever in the empire and he was completely removed from the world, he didn't want to be emperor to begin with. It was just his mother's forcing onto it. You can't really abdicate that position. He started entrusting this extremely ambitious general called Sejanus. And Sejanus started, it was completely unheard of in those days, married his commoner daughter into their bloodline of family, which was an outrage, but they gave it to this gimpy guy called Claudius that became an emperor later on. But he talked with a hobble like this and used to walk around with like a leg that was much shorter than the other, stomping around, and they're like, you can have him. So they gave him to that. Anyway, so eventually Sejanus started gathering a lot of power in the empire. Everybody started to assume that he was the emperor. He was that ballsy that he was saying it in Rome, "I'm the emperor now," outright like that. And because he was so recluse from it all, he just kind of let it... He didn't really know that that happened. His only source was this guy called Sejanus. So they were about to have a full hostile takeover. He caught wind of it at the last minute and had this guy, I think, put in the Iron Bull, which, remember that?
Yeah.
That was like when it was an extreme punishment like that. I don't think it was necessarily that, but it was like a hung, drawn, a quarter or something extremely to like iron, show everybody.
The Iron Bull. Do you want to explain that?
The Iron Bull is when you put someone inside a bull that is metal in the stomach. Hollow. Yep. And then you put fire underneath it, and then the person slowly gets broiled to death, and you hear the screams come out of the nostril, but they're contorted in such a way that it sounds like beautiful music.
How terrifying is that?
It was something really horrific like that. Anyway, the reason why I talk about this today is because I didn't do any research on Rome for Rome this week, and I just know a bit about Tiberius. But yeah, he pretty much just died a natural death after that. Just saw heaps of orgies, died 10 years later.
So did they take over Rome and he didn't do anything about it?
No, they're extremely close, and that's like the high point of his empire. He did nothing with his reign whatsoever, but thankfully at that point, the Roman Empire was extremely strong because it was in the middle of the Golden Ages. Soldiers everywhere, so nobody was screwing with the borders at all. So you could sit there on an island doing nothing for 10 years and get away with it.
Oh my god.
And thus, Rome, total war, where there was no wars.
Well, there it is.
You wanted it back?
Yeah, there we go.
And I didn't want to do the research, and that's the result.
No, that was great.
Impassioned. Thank you very much, Jordan.
No worries.
Now we're going to hear from Tom about his palm reading experience.
Yep.
That he did recently.
Yeah, so this week I went and got my palm read, and anyone who listens to this should know that that's not something that I'm too keen to do.
So we thought, what a zany idea. How about you do it?
So I did that. So yeah, I did that. Firstly, yeah, so I called the guy and I'm like, oh, hi, can I, you know, book a palm reading? And I do a podcast and, you know, kind of trying to get it for free, and because it's $150 an hour, which is the first outrage of this whole thing, is that he charges $150 to do this. But yep, he was happy to do that. Yeah, the first thing he says to me when I'm on the phone to him is, well, the first thing you need to know about palmistry is it's not like psychic or any of these other kind of these things that use intuition. I'm actually just using scientific knowledge here. So I'm just looking at your hand. And the hand, as everyone knows, besides the eye, is the closest thing to your mind. So what's written on your hand is really just a blueprint, basically, of what's in your mind.
He's got you there, Tom.
Well, maybe. he's like, I'll give you an example. Have a look at Obama's thumb, right? So the thumb is quite knobby, right? Like it kind of knobs out at the end, which means, you know, it's a leadership thumb, obviously. And he says, look at Kevin Rudd's thumb. Kevin Rudd's thumb, it's kind of got it's a bit more pointed. It's not, all right, it's middle management. And he's like,
right.
And he goes, you know what? So I did this reading on Kevin Rudd's thumb, and a week later, you know what happened? He wasn't Prime Minister anymore. And I was like, all right, man, I have to see you. You've sold me. So,
what was his reading on K-Rod? What did he say?
That he was middle management and he isn't a leader. So he was like, yep. And next week he wasn't Prime Minister. So, you know, he's pretty accurate. Is the first thing I had. And the other
thing he said about it. Okay, I suppose you wouldn't want to go into detail.
Yeah, we're on the phone.
It's
yeah,
it's a patient doctor confidentiality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the whole thing's been recorded, so if you want to listen to it, it will be uploaded later. My reading, which
for Patreon subscribers only.
Yeah, it's a very personal thing. You know, he's talking about, yeah, deeply personal thing.
Yeah, your inner nature, basically. I reckon he hits home on a couple of points. Yeah. Would you say he does or no?
I think it's that you want him to hit home. Because, yeah, first thing was, his voice is amazing. So, you just, like, love his voice. It's this very velvety, very, you know, hypnotic kind of voice where you just... You want to keep listening. Like, when he's talking to you, you get kind of big rushes of, like, great feelings through your body. Like, that kind of perfect tonal voice, which is awesome. Like, it's... Yeah, which is the first big reason why you just want to You don't
he's
want him to get
pretty
wrong.
Much. It's probably the same prize as one-on-one with Barry White for a night.
Yeah, you really want to be friends with him. He's super nice. You're sitting in this awesome little, you know, chair, and it's very, you know, perfect temperature. Like, everything about the experience is great. And
nice music?
No music, but it was kind of like birds chirping outside and like very bushy kind of. He lives in Epping, which is, you know, a very nice area of Sydney. And anyway, so he... And the way he talks to you is in a way where you can't... You don't want him to be wrong, because it will be kind of embarrassing to be like, oh, sorry, but that's not true, actually. But I did say that wasn't true whenever he was wrong, or a few times when he was wrong. A few I just like kind of let slide past. But, you know, for instance...
You would be, wouldn't you?
Well, I didn't want him...
One of those 10-year-olds that stomps on a waiter.
Yeah, well, it felt bad like that. But a few times when I knew he was wrong, I kind of emphasized it and tried to lead him along the track of me being wrong, to just see if he is using intuition or if he is actually just using my hand. Because there's a lot of points where it did feel very, like, cold reading, you know, that kind of thing. Do you have any expertise in this, Isaac?
I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I have read up on it, and I was very interested in learning it for a while. Because the thing with palmistry is you can learn it. It's not that sort of intuitive thing, like you said. And I find it really interesting that he's taken it away from the kind of the woo-woo sort of tarot kind of, you know, that kind of whole... I can see your future and spirits are talking to me, that kind of stuff. And he's taken it to this scientific approach, which is quite interesting. Yeah.
I felt as though that was part of his cold read, in that he knew I was skeptical.
Yeah.
He knew I was from...
How did he know that?
Because
I told him outright.
Well, I explained to him the premise of what we were doing. So, I was just saying, you know, half of the pod... cool with palmistry, the other half aren't so cool. I didn't tell him I was skeptical, but he knew that... Half of us wouldn't be keen.
You could tell from your very atheist neck beard, couldn't you? Yeah, so
he must have known that, you know, I wouldn't be. And I did, during the reading later on, mention that, you know, let's look at this as scientifically as we can. Like, how can you actually tell the future here? Like, I can get the mind map on your hand of maybe your past, for instance. Like, if there's some kind of genetic imprint on you of saying, oh, this line suggests that you have more of a Nordic look about you, and Nordic people generally are more... angry, so then it makes this huge generalization, but you know, it does have some kind of
scientific generalization.
Yeah.
Well, my view on sort of palmistry is that it's kind of like another version of hypnosis. Like, the whole palm reading side of things is the induction. So they kind of sets it up, and from what he said there, he's kind of like setting up your belief in palmistry to begin with. And then anything that happens, or anything that comes true from a palm reading, in my opinion, is that it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, he gets you into a trance in the session. As you said, it was very, you wanted to go with the flow. It was all those good feelings running through. Yeah. And so, basically, he's kind of talking to your unconscious mind. And when things happen, it's generally because... he's implanted a little seed there. That's kind of how I've seen it. And I've played around with palmistry. I've done it on a few people, and it works. There's just certain ways you do it. It's just Barnum statements. So, it's that kind of cold reading, throwing things out there, fishing in a little bit.
Yeah, example would be, he'll say...
Wait, so you read a book that was just like, how to manipulate someone into thinking that they've just been like psychically dealt a hand.
Yeah. It's really...
What? They outright say that in the book.
Pretty much. It's so easy. Like, there's a lot of things. So, back in the day when I was a youngster, I was sort of getting into... this is kind of revealing something on here that I haven't done before. But I was
Go ahead, man.
So in the PUA community, or the pickup,
you were there as well.
Yeah,
Jordan was. What was your name?
I never got into the forums. But
you know what mine was? I'm going to reveal something huge here. Golden Dragon.
No way.
You're joking.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
So, what a twist.
Holy
crap.
Cool. That's where it comes from. Yeah. I was always a little curious, like, why that just was the first instance. Yeah.
It's amazing. And if you go back, this is a lot like one of those Futurama episodes where you see Niblet in one of the first few eps.
Yeah.
Because, many times of the pod I've said before. Not that I was ever into PUA, but if I was, you know,
yeah.
then talking about this.
Yeah.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah, so I had an experience in that. And in through that, there's a lot of, you know, different ways to connect with people. And palmistry or kind of cold reading and stuff came up a bit.
Mm.
And they've got set way. You just say this, this, and this. If they say this, you say this. That's basically how easy it is to kind of build that connection with random people. And we used to just play games, basically. Basically, what PUA ended up being for me was just going out, meeting new people, and just playing games and making the night fun, right?
Yeah.
Not this kind of bullshit that's going on with these guys that are coming in from the US.
Wanting to rape people and all
that. Yeah. That's a whole other ball game, and I'm sure you probably would have, you know...
The cool guys are misunderstood.
Yeah. So, that was my experience. And then... So we actually were doing this one night at one of the pubs in Adelaide, and a friend of mine. So I was running this on someone I just met, and my friend was doing the same sort of thing on her friend. And so mine was trying to keep it positive and happy, mm-hmm. and anything I'd say would bring out nice things. And my friend was pretty drunk by this stage, and he didn't really give a shit. and you kind of go by the hands. You go, oh, this is your headline, this is your heartline, this is your lifeline. And he does the whole, oh, you see, your headline is moving away from your heartline. It means that, you know, you have these thoughts, you know, where you feel like, you know, if you do that thing, then it's wrong for you, but your heart just wants to take you there. That's kind of all this kind of this scripting, right? And he goes, and this is your lifeline. She goes, oh, does it say when I'm going to die?
I asked that too during my...
Yeah. And he looks at question. And he looks at it and he goes, ooh. Oh. She goes, she starts getting upset, and he goes, you better say goodbye to your friends now.
And come home with me.
No, but this girl, this poor girl.
It's going to be the night of your life.
Yeah. It was really creepy. No, she actually burst into tears. And
oh, my God.
And it ruined her night. And I was just felt really bad. And I said to a friend, like, I'm so sorry about this. You know, it's not real. Just don't fly into it. But, you know, that's the power of this kind of palmistry.
She died the next week.
Came home with me.
So that's my experience with palmistry and this kind of whole Barnum reading sort of statement stuff. And
One of the statements he said was, you're the kind of guy that, you know, you love the beach, you love the water, but you don't want to go in the water. You know, like, you love the ocean, but you're not the type to, you know, it's salty, it's, you know, it's wet, but you love the idea of it. Like, and it's so, it sounds like you're saying a lot. Well, no, it's like, it could be true, but I also love going swimming.
Or,
you know,
like,
well, you can make it work.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and all of them you can make work. And some of them you just couldn't make work. For instance, he would say, all right, the cold reading thing of that I was saying earlier to you guys is that, you know, we're doing a podcast on the radio, so it's easy to assume probably that I'm a creative type and that I probably like music. And he was definitely focusing on that. And unfortunately for him, I'm not that in love with music, and I'm, you know, like, I'm probably the opposite of that for a lot of the things he said. And
even if you were to make a cartoon, you're so uncreative, you would have come up with the idea of cat dog.
But then he got really specific about some things, saying, you know, he would say something really significant happened to you when you were 21, and it's 21 obviously is an age where most people will have something pretty significant happen. And he also said, because it's so tiny, the lifeline, you have to give about an 18-month give or take period for this. So if I say 21, it could be 19 or it could be 23. So then you're working in this huge period of time where...
It's from 1 year to four.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, you had a very serious love relationship at the age of 16 and ended when you were 18. It's just... No, I just didn't have that at all. And then you say, no, that didn't happen. Or he goes, oh, you've got a history of alcoholism in your family. And I go, no, I don't. And he goes, oh, good, because if you did, this would be bad, because you've got a history here, so let's not abuse that. Well, if I said I did, he'd be like...
Were you impressed, though? Were you impressed by that?
No.
It's a great save.
No, I was very impressed at his ability to cold read. But the problem, like, it didn't work on me because I was... definitely looking for it, but I could see it, like, he was great at it, like, his voice was enough for me to just go with it for the whole time, and he didn't get humiliated at all. Like, it was enough for me to be like, yeah, that some of this is working and some of this isn't, but I won't bring up the stuff that's not.
But as usual, Captain Bring Down, you've only talked about the negative aspects of it.
Yeah, so some things he said that were right were that I don't know, like he said, you're not argumentative. And I was thinking, I'm pretty argumentative. He said, he goes, you know, you're not the type to faint. You've never fainted. And I said, I said, yeah, actually, you're right. But actually, I've fainted several times. I'm one to faint. And he goes, but you're one to get asthma. And I was like, yeah, actually, yeah, you're right about it. Again, never had asthma in my life. So, like, so it's just this kind of so many, just one after the other, that like just didn't hit at all. And then he'll hit one where he'll be like, you love... I can't even think of one that worked. But maybe like one that, oh, you love movies or something like that. And
you
then
said you had a good time.
I had a great time. It was awesome. I loved it.
How was that fun?
So a lot of the big hits that they get are from statistics. So the thing with psychics is that they, to kind of patter everything out, they're big on statistics, or at least the really good ones are. And so, for example, when, because I got my palm read once too in Adelaide through a Groupon, actually, and I thought it was interesting. And so she's like, she said, you've got a connection with London, and that's because there is a statistically really high chance that an Adelaidean does know someone or has ideas to go to London.
Or a grandparent or a parent that has some connection to... it British?
Exactly, yeah, because we were the first free colony in Australia that were just sort of free Brits to come over. So we weren't, you know, kind of the convict, like a lot of the eastern side. And
yeah,
and so
they always mention it too, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did he say that? Did Matt say that to you? Did you know this was the first colony that wasn't convicts, so just to keep the score straight.
Yeah. I don't think he'd do
that. Okay, yeah, it'd be great if
you
did.
But so she said, oh, you know, you got something with London, and yet both sets of my grandparents came from London, and then at the time I was looking to go to London to do like training in hypnosis and sort of take my show there as well. So like, that was it's just a statistical hit.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that too, because he said someone in your family, a parent, either loves painting or traveling, and I was thinking, and then I was like, well, I don't, well, kind of. And he goes, but it could be a grandparent. Like, I was looking suspicious, and then
might not be painting at all.
But yeah, because then I was thinking about that, and I was like, all right, well, that makes there's six potential candidates there to either hit on painting or traveling, and as if one out of six doesn't enjoy to travel, like it would be rarer, right, to have six out of six or five. You know, it'd be really rare to have five out of six people hate traveling, and then one to do it. Like the odds are completely on their side to be correct, but it sounds as though, like, oh my god, how did you know that?
Yeah,
so it's just this every single one. But
so the only reason this was fun for you is because you got to ruin a man's career.
No, like I did really, I'd almost go back just to watch him work, because like it was so impressive watching him do it, because it was only afterwards when I was thinking about it, just being like, hold on. But there were a few times where he did kind of land that kind of thing where he'd say, yeah, it was ones like that.
There was one that
I was like, oh, my grandma does like painting. So I was like, oh my god, yeah. But yeah.
Well, like when he said you were a quick decision maker, I thought that was true. He said like he was sort of,
yeah.
You remember that one.
Well, that's the to me it seemed as though he didn't seem worried. But if I was into palmistry, that period where you're having to, cuz you go through several periods where they'll say your left hand is your past and then your right hand is kind of who you are, and then depending on how similar the lines are, it's like, are you going to follow kind of like your destiny, I guess. But when you're doing the stuff that's already happened to you, that's when you're in the most trouble, because you're either right or wrong about it. Well, if you're saying about the future stuff, you can say whatever you want, and there's no risk in being wrong, because I don't know what's going to happen. Like, he can claim to know more than I can.
Right.
Like, I can't argue with that. But then the problem there is that I just feel as though it's confused in terms of what it actually is about, in that it's not completely destiny driven. So it's not saying this is all predetermined and this is going to happen, because there is an element of you could change this if you chose. Like, it just seems kind of confused to me, like what exactly, because then there's this whole astrological thing.
2,000 years of tradition. But this isn't a movie.
Then the astrology, but just you trying to just have some kind of scientific, like, oh, this is your print, and then say, oh, but here, this is your Saturn line or something. It's like, well, why is it called Saturn? And then
it's scientific.
No, because it's astrology or something. And then it's, well, what's the connection with the stars? And it seems to just wrap all this stuff in. And because, like, I'd prefer to go to a psychic, because at least they are cool with it just being like, hey, man, this is psychic stuff, all right? But palmistry particularly hit a note with me, because it was trying to claim to be really like rational and no intuition and just all about fact. And it just was as if you asked him, there's a few moments where I ask him, can you explain this to me? And listen to the explanation. I'd love to listen back to it. Because he just so artfully dodges the question completely and says, I don't know what he says. Whatever like, it's just wants. Gibberish, but it comes off as like, okay, yeah, keep going. Like, you passed that. That's
fine.
Do you
have anything nice to say about this guy?
Voice was amazing.
Comment. Okay. Con man with a nice voice.
Yeah, and he gave it to me for free. So, top guy for that.
And what's his name?
I don't know if I should say his name. I should.
Maybe not. Because we've already said
his name is Paul Fenton Smith. Awesome dude. I'll go back to him for the psychic thing if we want to do that, or a tarot card reading. He did have tarot cards next to him, so.
Isaac, he's probably going to listen to this as well. I believe in you, Paul. Well,
just to clarify, this is, you know, my comments on palmistry is just from my own experience and my understanding. I haven't listened to the session, so you know.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, this is only my beliefs.
Yeah. Okay. Only Tom's beliefs.
Minor disclaimer.
We should say that. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you have any proficiency for psychic powers? No.
I don't claim to be able to sort of see the future or read. People's minds or anything like that. You know, kind of with hypnosis, it's really just kind of the idea of influencing minds. Kind of stuff. But,
cool. Yeah. Just wondering.
Oh, man, it's like, it's all the evil aspects of something psychic with none of the nice, fluffy things. Hypnosis.
Well,
it's just influencing someone.
Yeah. But there, yeah, like it's all fun for a while. But there were a few things he said. For instance, he was saying he had a person come in who. Brought her child in, and the child was very young, kind of starting, you know, finishing primary school. And he was saying how he was reading the hand, and she was like, oh, he's not very into maths, he's more into, you know, the creative arts and stuff. And she was very, like, much of a hippie and kind of wanted to send him more down that direction. And he said, hold on, like, it's the magnifying glass out. He was saying how he looks really close at, like, the heartline or something like that. And he was just like, you need to put this kid into extension maths right away. And she was like, oh, really? Like, and he's like, yep. You know, and he came back later, you know, loves the maths. He loves maths. And I was just thinking, well, yeah, it's a good thing to study maths. Yeah. But so he had no place to be saying, this is what the kid needs. It's just it was a trick. It was just tricking the woman. And now this kid is stuck doing maths tutoring all the time, even though he's more wanting to do other stuff.
Well, see, that's the thing. It can go either way, and it comes down to the practitioner, really. Because I was saying before that I think really palmistry or psychic readings and all that, it's like, you know, say it's 2,000 years of tradition. It's kind of the earliest form of counselling, really, in its main form. But, you know, those suggestions that are given, especially about the future, which could be that self-fulfilling prophecy, have to be really carefully delivered, because like you say, who's he to say that this kid's got to do maths?
Yeah.
When, you know.
Well, that is
but
a feeling
like
I got.
It's like him, you would love to give you, you're an extremely opinionated man, Tom.
Yeah.
Don't you? You would love that. Mm. You would love if some hippie came up to you and said, oh, I'm going to my kid. And you were just like, well, first of all, get it some shoes. Like,
that would be so up. No, well, that's what, it's kind of the same as the pickup stuff with like Tyler, where this guy would be awesome as a self-help dude or a counselor at helping people. And he actually did say a lot of stuff where you're thinking, that's really good advice. Like, you've got great advice. I'd love to listen to you because your voice is so great. If only you weren't bringing it into this different place, like with the pickup stuff, they've got awesome philosophical guidance, but they apply it to how to bang chicks.
Yeah.
You know, like it seems as though, and I get that they've got their audience, you know, they've got bros and they're telling bros awesome stuff.
Else do you reach the hippie then?
Yeah, well, maybe palmistry is how you do that. Well, so, that's fine, I guess, but
I think it's different demographics and different sort of modalities for trying to get a good philosophy out, but, you know, then there's people that take it in the wrong direction.
Yeah, so I think it is good probably for someone who's going to listen to more kind of those kind of things, then it's great. Like, it is actually probably helpful for a lot of people.
So. Yeah, but for someone like you who dresses like a Teamster on a daily basis.
Yeah, not good for me.
You need, the help that you need is from like Red Cross.
Yeah, or just anyone who has the head switched
access
on.
To blood transfusions would be great.
Okay.
So. All right. Yeah, so anyway,
Let's fun. Yep. Yeah. Thanks again for that. I don't know how to.
Jesus.
Genuinely, that is really interesting. It's a great recording. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you will be able to hear that recording, and it's great. So I'll suggest you support us. We're going to look now at US politics. What's going on there? Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump. Lots of stuff going on in America.
Name another one.
You know, is it?
Name one more.
Big things going on.
Jeb Bush.
Don't
Jeb Bush. Help about us.
I mean, George W. Bush was the old one, wasn't he? But, anyway, well, it's Obama at the moment. But we won't get into semantics, but we will with these boys. And these are the guys for the task. Jordan, how do you feel about it? What do you reckon?
It's so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's palpable, isn't it?
Here's the play, right? Okay, Bernie Sanders. Everybody in the mainstream media obviously is saying he's got no chance of winning at all. There's obvious reason to that, being that he's going to make corporate media pay tax, and corporate media doesn't want that. So they're saying that Hillary Clinton is the sane alternative, that she's the one that's really moderate and centrist. Hillary Clinton is worse than Malcolm Turnbull. Like, think about that. She is more right-wing than Malcolm Turnbull is. Because at least Malcolm Turnbull is saying that you should keep Medicare the way it is. We shouldn't be charging for it. He learned his lesson from charging us the measly $7 that we all went nuts about, right? But she's just sitting there going, no, keep Obamacare. Obamacare's a good thing. You have to pay. You are forced by law to pay for private health insurance, meaning the poorest people in America still have... You don't get it for free. Let's be very clear about this, right? Obamacare is really shithouse. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a great step in the right direction, but it's not what we have. It's the same with the education system as well, with the, like, a $100,000 degree there is a good, like, a really good deal. You'd be over the moon to get that. Mm. We're here, we were just like, how's a nurse going to pay that off? You know? That was our response. She is actually, think about that, she's more right-wing than Malcolm Turnbull is. She's basically, Bernie Sanders is essentially Bill Shorten, right? But because the system in America is so right-wing, everybody thinks that this guy's some far-out left-wing loony. But in reality, he's kind of just, him telling everyone that he's a democratic socialist isn't even correct, really. He's not even talking about socialism, he's kind of just talking about having restrictions on, you know, people making huge amounts of profit and having lobbyists and things like that in the White House. It's not a big thing. Anyway, the point is, everybody was saying that was just no chance at all that this guy was going to go anywhere, right? He's too old. He is too crazy out of this world for suggesting that we should be focusing on climate change, right? Like, I can't believe that in this day and age that is, like, seen as an extreme viewpoint, saying that, yeah, we should be focusing on the most important issue humankind has ever faced. No, it's the Mexicans. That we should be focusing on. Right? Anyway, so he has gone in the polls. 60 points to Hillary Clinton in December, right? She was leading 60, Bernie Sanders to 30. So there was like a 31-point gap, I think, because I think Hillary was on 61 or something like that. After the Iowa caucus, which I was just devastated by and was going to do a video about it as well, because kids didn't turn out to the Iowa caucus like they did with Obama. So Obama got about 224,000 Iowans out. Bernie Sanders got 170,000. So that's why it was almost a tie. And actually, Hillary Clinton, how dodgy is this, won 6 coin flips in a row. So if it's too close to call, they just flip a coin.
It's a really weird system where they... It's not a vote, where it's a caucus, where all these different groups all get together and they kind of argue between each other about who they think should have it, like Hillary or Bernie or, you know, XYZ. And then they will, you know, debate over it. And if there's not an agreement... I think
they flip on it.
I think there's a second round or something like that. But yeah, they flip a coin and decide, and that will decide it. It's so weird.
That is weird.
Everyone says it's just a ridiculous system, and they've been meaning to change it for like decades, but just
yeah. And their response this time, even though this was extremely important in this count, was yeah, we should change it. They didn't.
Yeah.
So they had 6 coin flips, and Hillary Clinton won all 6 of them. Something is up there already, don't you think? Like, she's in one delegate over Bernie Sanders.
Why wouldn't you just split it? You know, yeah. Why flip a coin? Yeah. Just go 3-3. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Why let that's just, yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it's got to be like the dumbest.
Shouldn't it be an odd coin flip to get a majority, perhaps?
Yeah.
Rather than a split?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Only if it's exactly even. Like, don't do dozens of coin flips.
That's amazing. Just off of the top of our heads, we've just brainstormed two better ideas and they're sticking with the coin.
But yeah. Or use a random number generator or something like that. It just seems funny in actual coin.
So Bernie Sanders is gone after the Iowa caucus because everybody on the left was predicting that, no, it's just because Bernie Sanders has been getting zero media attention. And I think in December, Donald Trump, for instance, got 224 minutes on mainstream news. Bernie Sanders got 10 minutes. And he's got about the same following as Donald Trump does. So Donald Trump had about 30% in the polls on the Republican side, and Bernie Sanders had pretty much identical to that. Wasn't given an iota of airtime. Everyone just keeps saying, no, he can't win, because there's obviously an agenda behind that. But despite the complete media handicap, despite the fact that nobody knows who this guy is, as soon as they do, like every time that he's on a debate, for instance, the whole computer screen of America's map of what states have been looking up which name after the debate, even after a Republican debate, just because he's tweeting there, just being like, well, that's clearly bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, saying those kind of things. Bernie Sanders even wins most tweets in, say, a Republican debate, where he's not even on stage.
Yeah.
The people want Bernie. And so what's happened is he's gone from a 30-point trail to a 2-point trail in a month.
Mm.
He's going to win this. Like, that crazy son of a bitch is going to make it.
I hope
so. How amazing is that?
Yeah, it was very exciting. Like, clearly, watching Iowa. Because so I don't know that much about it, but apparently if you win Iowa and New Hampshire, you've got a very good shot at kind of winning the rest of it. And
it's because all the media attention is forced to go to you because they have to keep saying who your name is, and then everybody looks up that person and goes, oh, maybe I should give a shit about politics now because the caucus is going into my state.
Yeah.
And so by doing that, they just see that, like, Bernie Sanders, Democratic Socialist, and they go, oh, watch this. And pretty much down the line, the American public agrees with Bernie Sanders. It's just the mainstream media keeps saying that, no, that's crazy. You shouldn't have free healthcare. Rich people shouldn't be paying taxes. That's insane. You shouldn't be focusing on climate change. That's nuts.
Yeah.
In reality, everybody actually does think that. He's just telling people, he's telling it like it is, man.
But yeah, Iowa, they tied. So which is crazy, like dead heat, completely tied, more or less. There was a point something difference, and
which is actually more beneficial for Bernie Sanders as well, because the media would have played it if Bernie Sanders won that as, oh, of course he's going to win in Iowa. There's a lot of liberal shit. Like, there's not really anything newsworthy. But they have to say Hillary Clinton tied with Bernie Sanders. And that's enough information.
Yeah. And then New Hampshire, Bernie's leading, like, by quite a bit in the points. So he's got a good chance to take that as well, I think.
So basically, anyway, to all the people that said that we should be discussing American politics on this podcast, we just did. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, so New Hampshire's soon, so that's exciting. And then we'll see.
Yeah, there you go.
As you can tell by Tom's tonality.
Well, I guess we should also just ask, Isaac, do you have any views on this? Or, like, I mean, I certainly don't.
Well, it's fun. Like, I was just having a kind of little conversation on Facebook with some friends about Bernie Sanders, and we're all hoping he wins as well.
Mm.
And, you know, I've just seen a couple of his talks and a couple of the things that he's going for. And I think he just resonates with a younger audience as well, because we're kind of perhaps more progressive, you know, in quotations there. But, I mean, that's about my standards. Like I said before we got on air today, like, it's, I'm not nearly as informed as you guys in American politics.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, me too. But you know, I think it is something to be kind of followed as an Australian, because we as a nation tend to follow America a lot, as much as whether we like that or not, as you know, as a population. But
yeah, they're the empire.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So
we're Gaul.
Yeah. So it's going to affect us, you know, potentially affect us. So I'm interested, but I'm not. You know,
it's pretty exciting as well, just watching the debates and stuff. They get pretty into it.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's become more of an entertaining kind of thing to watch, especially with Trump in there and just the crazy stuff, isn't it?
So what I was saying, and I hate how this has turned into like a joke, right? I'm genuinely serious about this. I think Donald Trump is funnier than stand-up comedians. What do you reckon? Well, I laughed way more at one of his speeches. And he gives out like 3 a week. Don't you think if you watch an hour of that, that is so much better than... Who was that piece of shit we were watching the other day at your house?
Chris Tucker.
No, that guy was great. Like, no.
Oh, I actually can't remember his name.
I love Chris Tucker.
No, Chris Tucker, that was actually great. Yeah.
He had some, but that skinny little skeleton guy that claimed that he had an hour of stand-up.
Who cares what his name is?
No, yeah. Just watch any one of Trump's speech. It's so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is great.
It's because it's like, he's not only a comedian, right? He's also a clown. So everything that he says is either saying like a legitimately good joke
or he's
saying something dumb. So it works on both, so many levels to it.
Yeah, yeah. True, yeah.
Some of his expressions are quite mesmerizing. Have you seen that gif where they've kind of like imploded his face? It's kind of like shrunk down.
That SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, yeah. It kind of goes like this. Like this kind of look on it, and it just plays it over and over again. It's
It is great. It is just how he's slowly being forgotten as well as what he was. Like, he has become a politician.
The guy that, the guy that used to verse McMahon in WWE.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a wrestling fight.
Well, you know what's interesting, and you know, not to sort of rag on Trump, you know, for too much longer in this segment, but I kind of held him in some kind of an esteem as a businessman, you know, someone who I thought he was an entrepreneur. I thought he was some guy who created his wealth. And then I read up on him from looking at some article and some article online.
Didn't he inherit
he inherited like most of it from his father. In fact, all of it. And if he was just to dump it into the stock market, it's pretty much done exactly the same as what the stock market would have done over those 30 years or whatever it's been. But he's been bankrupt like three to six times in that time, trying to do other stuff and just kind of failing with it. So, I mean, that was the gist that I got from this thing. Yeah.
So, when they introduce him in
the
debate.
It's so good that he always says that he's like a man that started from nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
How is $200 million nothing?
Yeah. Well, I think it was the fifth of $200 million back in the 80s.
Oh, okay. To be fair to Trump,
it was 40 million.
Yeah, it was 40 mil. Yeah. You're right. He is self-made.
It's supposed to rise back after however many times bankruptcy is.
No, there's something.
I think he also bankrupted a lot of those, about it.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, he bankrupted several of those companies on purpose kind of avoid paying certain
things. So he's a coward. There's a coward that started with everything.
Yeah. So I think him going into the spotlight as much as he has for this this run, you know, I think he's probably lost more followers potentially, you know, in terms of the business world. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
it's just that honesty thing. People just love him because they're just saying what we all think.
Yeah. There's no script.
Yeah. That's which is actually kind of fun. It is way more entertaining watching that.
But true. Yeah. Very true.
All right, let's move on to hypnotizing Jordan.
Okay, yeah. We've got
finally.
All right, Isaac. So
we're talking about Rome and US politics. Yeah. Screw that. Well, we know what we're here for.
Let's talk to Isaac quickly just about hypnosis and who he is and all that kind of thing. What is this?
This is it's a magician's intro. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It'll,
so how long have you been hypnotizing people for?
Probably about 5.5 years. Been on stage for about 5 years, actually, as of this month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, this is kind of my anniversary month, which has been good. So the first show I ever did was actually a fundraiser for the Queensland floods at the time, sort of back in 2011, and they were kind of fairly devastated by that. And it's, you know, fundraisers are good because you know, if it's a new venture and it goes terribly, the money's going to a good cause.
You chose well,
man. Yeah, exactly.
Very clever.
Exactly.
That's great as a fallout, isn't it? If you're dying, just being like, well, what about all the others that died, you know?
Exactly.
Cool.
Can I just go for a quick bathroom break?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Get rid of radio silence.
So, hi guys, we're back from the toilet break.
So I was angry at the time, but Isaac, really good idea. I like the bathroom break.
Yeah, it is a good idea.
Sir.
Why were you angry?
This isn't how we do things.
Oh, right. Stopping. Yeah.
Hey.
But Isaac, you were talking about how great you are, so tell us more about your riveting life.
Sure. I actually got into hypnosis with an interest in neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. And,
yes, awesome.
And I love it. I love this whole science behind persuasion, and just being ultimately just being a better communicator. That's what hypnosis is. That's what NLP is all about. And I kind of found out, in reverse, that NLP is just a best practice of a particular hypnotist called Milton Erickson, and it's just a study of his actions and the way he would hypnotize people in normal conversation. And these guys, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, they basically distilled these techniques and packaged it up as NLP, and then away you go.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. And then obviously guys like Tony Robbins and that, they've sort of taken NLP and brought it into mainstream, made it pretty big. When I was doing that course, I was learning hypnotherapy at the same time. So how to help people with hypnosis and phobias, and taking away the phobias, as well as helping people with weight loss and smoking and all that kind of stuff. And I got my interest in there. But then I kind of like the idea of using it on stage and entertaining people with it. And so...
Yeah, just fucking with people.
Yeah. I thought that sounded like a really fun career.
People's minds.
Yeah. So...
There's a snake on your head.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. So, and here I am, 5 years later, still doing that.
So. Awesome. So your dream is to have a permanent set in Vegas, yeah? Is that the goal?
Definitely. That's like... at least 1 year of doing that. That'll be the pinnacle. That'll be when I can hang my hat up and go, all right, yeah, I've made it. I've made this career.
Yeah.
So
when the first row is doused with smoke, when every time you come on stage, right, and there's just a voiceover that says, we should have said beforehand, asthmatic shouldn't be in the front row. Yeah.
Now, welcome to the stage.
So tell us about hypnosis. So exactly what's going on? Is it talk about meditation and what's the process of being hypnotized?
So there's lots of different ways to get hypnotized, and we're hypnotized, or we go into trance constantly every single day. We're in and out of it all the time. It's just a natural state of heightened learning. So it's a really fast process of learning,
like when you're in your car.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the metaphor that I use all the time on stage, or the analogy I use all the time on stage, is that when you're driving home or somewhere you've been 1,000 times before, you go into autopilot, and you get to your destination, you're like, did I actually drive here? Or, did I run through a red light? What happened? You have that state of amnesia when you get home. And that's just trance. That's just your conscious mind floating off for a moment. You might be thinking about what you're going to do on the weekend or whatever else. And then, in the background, your unconscious mind is just driving you home just as normal. It's just the way it's just delegated that process to, to the unconscious.
This question goes out to either Robbie or Isaac then. Why is trance music called trance? It does not seem entrancing at all.
Well, it is repetitive.
That's what I'd say. Yeah, it's just repetitive.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. Anyway, thought there'd be more to that.
I'm not an expert. That's probably about it.
I'm not an expert on it.
So, but Jordan is very, pretty well versed in meditation and does that all the time.
Yeah.
So, it's a similar thing to that you're saying.
Yeah. So I'd say he's going to be a really good subject.
So, we're hoping Jordan will fall deep into the spell.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, meditation or yoga or just reading a book and then hypnosis, directed, with hypnosis, it's just all the same trance. It's the same muscle in the mind, you'd say, that you work. So the fact that you've done that, you've basically been working that muscle, and typically you're going to be a really good subject. So that's always good. And that's awesome. What sort of Tom said when he
Tom, my white wizard, can you help me? With and what? You put like a spell on it so he doesn't. He's a friend of Matt Tarrant's, for Christ's sake. Yeah. This guy's. I'm kidding. He's a good guy.
No. The thing is, like, look, my approach with hypnosis, and there's been a lot of really nasty hypnotists out there, and it's certainly a thing that I'm dispelling through my career, is that hypnosis and stage hypnosis, comedy hypnosis, doesn't have to be nasty. Like,
today, no.
Just for you, Jordan, I am going to be. No. It's basically, I see the stage and what I do on stage as a way to get this state of mind out to people. I mean, you guys already know about trance. It's because Jordan's brought this whole meditation thing to you. Mm. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people, this other state of mind is completely foreign to them. And they're like, well, how do people do things? How are people successful? How do successful people think? And a lot of those successful people, use visualization and their imagination to kind of project out into the future where they want to go. And that is hypnosis. It's that kind of hypnotic principle. And a lot of people, think, oh, well, hypnosis is, just for the gullible people or, the people that can get tricked easily. And it's actually the other way around. Because if you can focus and you can tap into your imagination, you can enter trance and you can sustain trance for longer and you go in there a lot quicker. So those people that are sort of at a higher level, higher sort of game in life, they tend to be really good hypnotic subjects. That's what I find on stage. Like, for example, I did a show the other day for a private school in Adelaide. And while, a lot of the, the trophy wives, you could say, that were up there on stage, they got dismissed. But then...
Does that mean you send them off because they can't be hypnotised?
Yeah.
Well, it's because they're trophies. And they're not real, you see.
Yeah.
We're going to... Yeah. Off topic here for a moment. I'm having some personal beliefs there.
Yeah. No. But the star of the show, because he's always sort of one that goes particularly deep into like somnambulism. And he turned out to be, one of Adelaide's sort of rather prestigious plastic surgeons, and I was like, oh, that's kind of good to know.
So is there kind of irony there that the most kind of successful, like highest held in society generally are the best at kind of just getting under your spell and being able to do silly things on stage?
Yeah. It's quite interesting. And I mean, I put it down to, the way I think to achieve a sustained level of success, you have to have that focus and you have to think about outside the box as well, because as soon as something gets flooded the whole crowd goes to one thing, you kind of have to start thinking outside the box to get an edge on whatever it is in whatever industry you're in, So that's sort of how I see hypnosis, and the more people do hypnosis, the better they get at it, and the more they strengthen that part of their mind. So
Do you play Grease Lightning in your shows? every hypnotist I've ever seen always plays, I got chairs.
Really?
Really?
And then make the person dance to it.
What's the song that you play there? There's got to be some Madonna in there, surely.
When I started out, I used to use Shania Twain.
Yeah, why is it always these kind of songs?
Yeah.
I think, what's with that?
I think...
Are you playing a song now?
No,
what is this?
Oh, we should have... Yeah, I did ask
you. You call yourself a hypnotist?
Yeah. No, I used to use Shania. I think it's because it's a fairly stereotypical strong woman kind of song, and when I get a guy to do it, it's particularly funny.
Right.
So usually, if you use those stereotypical roles, and you kind of mix them up, it kind of creates the comedy aspect.
Right. Cool.
Have you ever, just so briefly before we jump into it, have you ever like accidentally hypnotized somebody when you were sort of in those initial stages of learning how to do it? Or
no, I mean, I do like to get people's permission beforehand. Right, yeah. So I've always sort of maintained that mantra.
Yeah. Have you ever used it for once, like PUA stuff, or could you do that?
No,
it's unethical, but like, could you?
You could, and that's the thing. I mean, in The Game by Neil Strauss, they all used hypnosis a way. So that was another thing. That was an anecdotal sort of thing where I saw it pop up in that. I was like, oh, yeah, interesting, but I never used it. I just that to me goes beyond my moral.
And it doesn't, however, go beyond Robbie's. Scratching his chin and just said, oh, wow.
Isn't it easy to learn, Isaac?
Yeah.
Just joking.
But doesn't that feel as though it's a thing that you could, not like you could or should or anything, but doesn't that kind of it's a weird power to have, right? That you could right now just be like, can I have 5 minutes of your time? And then just get them under your spell, basically.
Yeah. And I guess that's the... there's a trust element in hypnosis, and that's definitely where there's a line. And I really, you know, I'm pretty big on making sure that line doesn't get crossed, because for me, it's about celebrating the human mind and the imagination. And if that gets sort of damaged, or that rep sort of gets broken, then I won't have volunteers for my show, and I won't be able to continue to have fun on stage, right? So for me, it's a reputation thing, but also it's just a moral thing. Like, there's a lot of things that stage hypnotists do that have done in the past that I would never do, because it's just like it kind of gives you that real icky feeling in your stomach, and that's not what that's, you know, by the end of the show I like people to walk out and go, hell yeah, what can I do, what can I achieve, you know, that's kind of what it's all about, you know, I like that sort of feeling.
Very uplifting, but you have full permission to make me feel dirty.
Don't worry.
Just be careful.
We've let him say that. Let's jump right in. Okay, so we're not allowed to record the actual beginning moments, because anyone listening might accidentally get hypnotized themselves. So there will be a small break, and then we'll be back, and Jordan will be hypnotized.
Yeah,
we might come in at times.
Yeah.
All right.
So. Now, as you continue to listen to the sound of my voice, in a moment when you open your eyes, you'll have completely forgotten your name. That's right. Your name will be completely gone from your mind. You won't be able to say it here. It'll speak. It'll be completely gone from your mind. No matter how hard you try and say it, it'll simply be stuck in your mouth. You won't be able to get it out, no matter how hard you try. Nodding your head as you understand, locking that in place. That's right. That's good. And one, two. Wide awake. Back here in the room. All right, how you feeling?
Relaxed.
Yeah, it's good. Now,
feels so good.
Obviously, this is the first time I've met you guys in person.
Yeah.
So we've got Robbie, Tom, and
you guys know, like, why we're doing this. Let's just get on with it.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about? We're talking about.
We're just introducing ourselves.
We're just
sort of doing the whole.
So we got your boys here. We got Tom here. We got Robbie. We got.
Okay, this is pretty embarrassing. Like,
what's embarrassing?
Like, Jesus Christ. What? So, all right, okay.
I don't know.
Listen, look. Okay.
So we're here at FBI Radio.
This.
Okay. Robbie here. We've got Isaac. Tom.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry, I don't know. What did you do?
What do you mean, like, what did we do?
I can't remember it.
Oh, for goodness.
I don't know.
Oh, my Lord. That's awesome.
Does it matter? Can we just go on with
right,
it?
Yeah,
is there anything else that we're going to talk about?
Yes, please. We'll move on. They're doing wonderfully, Jordan, doing wonderfully. All the way in, drifting, dropping, falling, dreaming down deeper and deeper. That's perfect, because in a moment when you open your eyes, you'll be able to remember your name. But in fact, you'll believe that your name for your entire life has been Jenny Froglicker III. That's right. You're from a long line of Froglickers. You're very, very proud of your name. If anybody laughs at your name, or if anybody forgets your name, you'll be quite irritated. That's right. You really want to serve them a piece of your mind, because you will be really irritated. That's right. You're very proud of your name, your heritage, your lineage. That's right. You're Jenny Froglicker III. Locking that in place, nodding as you understand. That's right. One, two, wide awake. All right, cool. So, you know, it's great to be in here. Great little studio you guys have got.
Thank you. Yeah. So we've got Jenny over here.
Yo.
Robbie.
Tom and Isaac from Adelaide here.
The whole team.
That's an interesting name. You've got Jenny.
Froglicker III would be great.
Oh, you want the whole
name? The throat. It's quite an important... I don't know, we've been through this before, but yeah, it's a really long lineage of a name. It's great. Especially... Really enjoy the third. Really enjoy the third part. So you just say that.
Sure.
And then we could continue.
Okay.
Sure.
No, say it. Say it, Isaac.
Oh, he wants me to say it.
Yes, please.
So Jenny Froglicker III.
Yeah.
Okay, better remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. These things happen.
Yeah, okay. Sure. certainly, you know, interesting kind of podcast today, talking about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
And, oh, jeez. It's funny because I do, you know, I do hypnosis for memory, but sometimes I get really bad with names.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got Robbie, Tom, and
you just said it. Genie Froglicker the third. Okay. But right. The third part, you know, this is like a hyphenated name. It's, you have to say that part as well.
Okay, sorry. Yes. Yeah, so it's just Jenny. Okay.
Right. No, it's
what do you mean?
What's the matter?
What's the problem?
Are you serious? I've said it like three times.
What? You said something about your lineage as well. I can't quite remember, though.
You are just doing this to wind me up. I know we have had this. How long have we been friends for?
I'm not.
You always do this.
I'm not.
Why are you making fun? You're making it okay for Isaac to say that as well. But it's not.
Why are you making fun of this, Robbie?
I'm not. I genuinely forgot. Well, you tell me what it is then.
Jenny Froglicker the third.
Well, tell me about the lineage then.
Oh, it's a very important lineage.
How could you not remember this?
Was it important?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. That's how I remember it. All
right, good.
Okay.
Thank
you. So, Jenny...
You're a real bastard, aren't you?
So, Jenny, have you had to deal with much kind of angst, you know, through school and stuff? Did you get much people laughing at your name or anything?
Well, I don't know who Jenny is to start with. It's Jenny Froglicker the third, but it was great. Like, people did make fun of it for a while and just saying that, you know... I don't know, but now it's better. It's just the adult world thing. Everybody just becomes more accepting of those that are just clearly superior in their lineage.
Right.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think of our lineage?
It's obviously shit. Right. I mean, you don't have a number at all at the end of yours. None of you do, do you?
No, I mean, I guess not, yeah.
No offence, but I don't even remember your last name.
Right, oh, so, you know. It's Armfield. I'm not. It's not a number though, so you know. Yeah. I guess it's less.
You must have my disease, Jenny, because I keep forgetting.
I won't say it again.
Why did you invite him on?
Doesn't remember the name.
Look, I'm sorry. You know, I better move on as you
all right.
Sleep all the way and drifting down deeper. That's right. More and more relaxed. Letting yourself go completely down. That's right. Drifting, sinking, floating, falling, and dreaming. Because in a moment when you open your eyes, the strangest thing will be happening to you. That's right. The strangest thing will be happening to you. Your feet will be having a very heated argument with one another. You'll be compelled to explain what it is that they're arguing about, but it'll be a righteous conversation, one that definitely deserves some commentary. That's right. 1-2, wide awake.
How's it going over there, Jenny Froglicker the third?
Strong lineage.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
What's the matter? What's going on?
Tell us about it.
Jeez. What have you guys done?
Why?
Oh, so.
What's happening? Tell us about it.
What's going on?
My feet are fighting.
And his
what are they fighting over?
I think they're speaking in Spanish.
Oh, wow. What are they arguing about in Spanish?
I don't know. I don't fucking speak. I'm just yelling.
It's a good response. Yes. They're just yelling at each other.
Which one's winning?
Yeah, righty's definitely got lefty on it. Like, it's definitely righty. Righty.
Jordan's shuffling his feet back and forth.
No, Jenny Froglicker the third.
Yeah, sorry. All right, well, I hope they sort their differences out.
Hopefully this won't go. Can you see a resolution on the horizon at all, or not really?
No, just, look, righty's winning. Righty, I think that's how it's going to go down.
Right.
Lefty's out of this one.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's it's an interesting dilemma. As you sleep deeper down, that's right, drifting, that's right. And your feet can stop fighting now, that's right. You can allow them to rest and relax and resolve their differences. Because in a moment when you open your eyes, that's right, you will be ecstatic because one of your favourite people, one of the people who really look up to, will be, in fact, in this studio with you. That's right. You'll be delightedly surprised that when you look at Robbie, you'll just see Anthony Robbins.
That's right. Tony Robbins will be in the room with you. That's right. And he is sitting right where Robbie was. That's right. 1-2. Wide awake.
All right, so we've got a special guest in the studio today, Tony Robbins. Hey, mate, how are you?
Hi. Yeah, good, thanks. Good to be here in Australia. I love it here. Who have we got in the studio?
We've got Isaac.
How's it going, Isaac? Hi, nice to meet you.
And we've got Jenny Frogwicker the III here.
Hey,
mate. Hey, mate, nice to meet you.
Holy hell.
How did
you pull this off?
Yeah, so we just got Tony to fly in for this. He just, you know, we told him how big of a fan you are, and he agreed to come in for half an hour to have a chat. So
I told you he was a good guy.
Yeah, he is. Well, like, Tony, thanks for coming down.
Thanks for feeding 50 million people, can I say? That is huge.
Oh, no worries at all. I mean, it's...
Tom never gives you any credit for that.
Really?
No.
What do you think of me, Tom?
Look, I reckon you're a, you know, stand-up guy, you know. I think you do great work.
It's easy to say that when the man's in front of you, isn't it?
Oh, right,
let's not talk about that.
There's some history here. There's some history here, Jenny.
Oh, God.
I reckon, you know, you help a lot of people. Jordan's a massive fan. Do you have any questions, Jordan, that you've been wanting to ask?
Yeah. Man, this is like... I'm kind of speechless looking at you now. I know it must be the worst experience getting this all the time, especially you, because you would have this... I remember that story of you... This is too fangirl.
It's okay, I get it all the time.
I'm speechless.
It's all right.
You.
Okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Tom, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You know, like no, it's really all Tony.
I've heard about your work, and I'm pretty blown away by what you've achieved. Yeah, I'm blown away by what you've achieved, and I'm happy to be in your company.
What was this fan girl stuff?
It's nowhere near as good. Just great man.
What were you going to fangirl over there, Jim?
It was just, I remember this story of you. You were doing a number one in the toilet, and then the guy next to you all of a sudden recognised who you were and went, "Oh my God, it's Tony Robbins," and pissed on your leg. That would be me if we were in the urinal. I would definitely be doing that to you.
Really?
Do you remember that, Tony?
I had a doubt. And he was going, "Help, I'm suicidal." And in 10 seconds, you turned his life around. See, that is phenomenal, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, I know it's straight from the horse's mouth, but still, if that's true, wow.
Hey, he turned out to be a lovely guy. You know, it was a bad introduction, but boy, oh boy, you know, happy to help him.
Someone pissing on your leg, that can't be good, right?
Yeah,
you have to be a great man like Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
He's right here, so.
Anything else you'd like? How did I turn his life around? Oh, it's the same process every time, you know, I just, yeah. Yeah. You know what
you know.
Oh,
what
you I don't know, need it. I'm in Australia only briefly. I don't really want to go into it.
You must be the busiest guy.
I am, but I always find time to sort of go on little walks, get amongst nature, and find my own little piece of happiness. Yeah.
We can't thank you enough for coming.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks. So Isaac, Tom. Jenny Frogwicker the III.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard about your lineage.
He's so respectful.
Yeah, I've heard about your lineage. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony, you just said it, but Tom, Tony.
Don't embarrass him in front of Tony Robbins, please, Isaac.
Sorry, what's the problem?
Remember, you can't.
Yeah, no, it's Tony Robbins, you know, he's a really...
He's definitely got that skill, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's Jenny Frogwicker the III.
Okay.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. All right. So, do you have any advice for Tony, for Jordan, Tony, or do you have any questions that you want to know, Jordan, Jenny? Sorry.
Just like, okay, if you had one thing to say about success, I know. Look, I've read all your books a million times, but if you were just to distill one thing about success, what would it be?
You've got to follow your dreams. You've got to have that passion, and you've really got to live it. You know, there is no. You've just got to set goals and achieve, and I really think that I've put a lot of great works out there that you can read and watch, and
simple just words.
Go on, plug the website, Tony.
No, tonyrobbins.com. Is it? I can't remember. I'm so busy. I have people that work at all that sort of stuff. Do you know my website?
Yeah, I watch it all the time.
Oh, cool.
The fact that Danny DeVito's on it, just great.
How good is it? I know. I'm a big fan of that guy, and yeah, I love
awesome,
it.
Man.
And sleep deeper down. That's right. Because in a moment, when you open your eyes, you believe
that Tony is still in the room. However, there's something a little bit off about Tony. Despite your reverence of him, you'll think that Tony's wearing a wig. You won't sort of pull his hair, but you will just want to find out where the divide is and just kind of call him on his bluff. You know, you want to see what's going on. 1-2, wide awake. Yeah. So,
Tony.
Hey.
You've been in the studio for a little bit here, but there's something that has to be raised. Are you...
Yeah, what's with the wig?
I'm not wearing a wig.
You... Look, thanks for coming on. Big, you know, it's awesome, but I just don't... I don't understand.
It's pretty, like, it's great, though. Like,
it's awesome.
It's great, but, yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, just can you explain it?
Sorry, he doesn't want people to know. I mean, it's... Yeah, okay, it's radio. It's fine.
Yeah, oh, okay. I just... I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Just asking the next question, you guys. It is pretty strange.
Are you sorry? No. Look, I am in Australia only briefly, and I just really need to. I just need to know why you think that I've got a wig on.
Did you grow your hair out or something?
Yeah, no, that's fine. People just walk around with clownish wigs their entire life. That's fine. I mean, it's just a part of the course, isn't it? Most people have rainbow coloured hair. Anyway, let's go. Let's go on with the rest of the interview because you're a busy man.
You want a closer look.
I mean,
are you sure you know?
Can I touch it?
I'm not really comfortable with it. But I would, okay. I mean, I'll allow you to. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Sure.
Touch his hair. Okay.
Stroking Tony's hair now.
It's such good quality as well.
Is it? I mean, it's not a wig. I don't know what to tell you.
Nah, but look at that though. Come on.
Yeah. Wig or
not? I mean, like,
wig.
Look at this size. Anyway, we can cut this out if you want. We'll just continue on without it. It's fine.
I can't believe you touched Tony Robbins' hair.
I'm a busy guy. What can I say?
But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to come
down.
That's
okay. It's been lovely to meet Tom, Isaac, and Jenny, Frogluck the Third. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot about you, and I'm what have you taken away most from my work?
Okay, well, obviously you saying follow your dreams is great, right? But I think that the notion of Kaizen, that is the best thing. The constant, never-ending improvements of every day trying to strive to just be slightly better. Not even 1%, 0.1% better. That spoke to me, man.
Good. I mean, I love to feed the world with positivity and food.
And 50 sleep. Million.
Deeper down, that's right. All the way drifting, drawing, falling. And dreaming and relaxing, because in a moment when you open your eyes, it'll be your favorite segment on the podcast. That's right. It'll be your favorite segment. It's about to begin. You secretly always loved this segment, but now's the time for you to come out with it. That's right. You want to profess your love with Trabien. That's right. 1-2, wide awake.
Oh, Jenny Frogluck of the Third, how are you feeling?
All right, next segment we've got coming up is a favourite of ours. Robbie, do you want to intro it, or Jordan, would you like to intro it?
I think it's more than it's Trabien! Another rousing success! God, I love how everybody, the comments have been so positive. Anybody that says that this is a bad segment doesn't know radio. This is perfect. All right, so, I mean, obviously, the master himself is here, the chef, in the studio now, but I suppose I'm just going to have to go with it because I'm talking at the moment, but I mean, the fact that you get to taste two different things at once, tell which one is the better one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great, isn't it? It's like a movie review. It's like My Kitchen Rules put into the same thing. It's everything that is... It's really of the zeitgeist, this great segment that you came up with.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, what
deserves it? You really need to be praised for this, Robbie, because we need more segments like this. I mean, imagine topping Trabien.
Oh, I can't... I know.
Sleep! Deeper down, that's right. Drifting, dropping, falling and dreaming. Because today on the podcast on Trabien, you will be eating a little tub of ice cream. That's right. The tub you were given will be the most delicious ice cream that you have ever enjoyed in your whole life. That's right. It'll be absolutely fantastic to you. You cannot get enough.
Are we having a talk?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a spoon?
No, we're just going to get the finger.
What? Okay. Why?
It's funny.
All right, so when you open your eyes, you'll be happy to use your finger, and it'll be the most delicious ice cream that you have ever had. 1-2, wide awake.
All right, so we have this awesome dab of ice cream here. Jordan, would you like to have a taste?
All right.
Très bien.
Well, we've got this. In France.
It's this beautiful ice cream here. Here you go.
All right, lifting over.
There goes Jordan eating a big dab of butter off the big dab of ice cream off his.
Isn't that the
finger.
Most delicious ice cream? Yeah, it's unconventional. It's, pretty good. It's unconventional, right?
It's really nice.
I know. See, I
can you tell what flavor it is, Jordan?
There's vanilla in there.
Yep.
Hint of straw. Is that Napolitano? Did you bring a Napolitano? I mean, it's so Robbie's alley, isn't it? He loves that kind of stuff.
Let's have a look at this. Let's see the ice cream tub.
It's a, just holding up a big jar of butter there. Maybe an ice cream.
Nutlex.
It's
really nice.
Yeah, it's a special sort of homemade recipe that I've created.
Did you make it?
I did, yeah. Would you like some more?
This guy just goes above and beyond.
He loves the podcast. He loves Trey Vienne. He cooks. He loves food. His food's a big thing for Robbie.
Would you like some more, Jordan?
Yeah, have one
if
more.
I mean, Jenny, yeah.
Jenny,
yeah, if I can.
Yeah, have a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Is it? We can stop it.
No. Yeah? One more. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
It's real. I mean, I can't believe that. Okay. It's definitely got strawberry in it.
It's an old recipe I learnt from my grandmother.
So usually you don't. So
No, I don't know what's funnier, the fact that he actually enjoys it or that he's taking it off your finger, Robbie.
Only way to eat, right?
Yeah, off Robbie's finger. Yeah.
Definitely.
How is that, Robbie?
I'm glad he enjoyed it. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Cool.
Très bien. Très bien with Robbie. That's made a triumphant return there.
Why don't we have it every... Can we just make it official that we're going to... And can we put it on the radio show as well?
Yeah,
I'll try it. It's like, what's funner? What is funner than Robbie's Trey Vienne?
Yeah, I guess, man. Like, I've never been a big fan of it, to be honest.
Really? Yeah, I know. He's such a party pooper about everything, isn't he? Like, first the palm reader, now it's just all about, like, downing on Trey Vienne.
Everyone
loves it. If you don't like it, you're officially a Tom of this podcast, okay?
Well, you know what? How about I leave the pod?
What do you mean? Hang on a sec. What?
How about I just don't come back?
But I...
Yeah, we'll discuss this off here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe we should discuss it now.
Yeah, well,
I don't, like Isaac's here, so this is
a bit awkward. But, okay, sleep deeper down, drifting, dropping. That's right, deeper and deeper still. In a moment, when you open your eyes, you believe that now that you have finally fallen in love with Trey Vienne, it is time for you to part ways with the boys. That's right. It'll be your time to quit the show.
Start your own
Trebian. You'll be looking at taking Trebian on all by yourself, starting your own show, and you'll be very enthusiastic. You won't take no for an answer. 1-2, wide awake.
So, do you enjoy Trebian?
Yeah, it's good.
It's good, isn't it? I mean, it's a lovely homemade recipe there, and I reckon it's the best one I've ever done.
I reckon it's such a good segment. You could start your own pod just doing that.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
That's really high praise. I mean, I reckon some as well, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, did he really come up with all of it, though? I mean, I came up with Trey Vienne.
Really?
Yeah, did you? I think he might have, actually.
I mean, he thought of the idea of just the... But, like, the thing that made it pop was definitely the title, right?
Yeah. And that was your suggestion?
It was mine.
Right. Yeah.
So why does he get to get it?
Oh, no one said he... Do you want it?
Well, like... I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe we should just not do it while it's recording.
No, it's all right. Oh, we'll just cut it out. But yeah.
Yeah. We'll just cut it. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you say we just... Okay. We can keep the radio show, but it's kind of stupid having two shows that are exactly the same, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you're kind of right. Yeah, that's
you
true.
You reckon?
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? The radio show and this anyway.
I suppose so, yeah. What are you proposing?
I don't know. I just think that Trey Vienne is such a strong segment.
Yeah.
That it's clearly a podcast in itself.
True, yeah, he's right.
Well, I'm not doubting that for a second, but...
So...
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you could come on and be a guest on it. That'd be fine.
A guest on what? I'm sorry.
So you're Trey Vienne with Jenny Froglicker the Third.
Oh, you were... You are joking, surely.
No, I'm not. Why?
Really?
I've always been so behind Trey Vienne.
That's
Trey Vienne is religious to me.
But do you?
I'm such a fan of it.
So you mean we keep the radio show?
You guys can keep that. That's fine. I might come on as a guest or whatever. But like, really, I just think that creatively, you guys are holding me back a bit.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. You know what, man? Like, that's completely fine. If that's what you want to do, you can. So you're going to just start your own Trabian, and then maybe we'll come on every now and then. But it'll be mainly.
No. That'll be me. You can go on the radio show. I don't give a shit about that.
So what about Friendly Geordies?
They can keep that name. I'm done with that. This is my Prince moment. I'm turning myself into a symbol. Trabian is where it's at.
So we'll have Trabian with Jenny Froglick the Third, and then we'll just do Friendly Geordies with Tom and Robbie.
Is that what you're proposing?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that.
I'm fine with that if you'd like, yeah. I mean,
oh man, I was really expecting this to be a really uncomfortable conversation.
Nah, man, like, if that's what you want to do, I'm completely open.
Yeah, I'm happy to can talk about this, and yeah, I mean, sure. I guess we'll do that. So we'll stop.
It's not even weird with Isaac here, is it? It's fine.
Yeah, no, sorry, Isaac.
I mean, this is some important business you guys need to take care of.
I know, usually, like, it's, you know, it's kind of rude, I suppose, but it's important to talk about it. But yeah, so I guess this is the last pod then, like, with the three of us, right?
Yeah, that's fine. And then every week I'll just get on fabulous celebrities and then treat them to do different dishes.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, man.
Yeah.
Sounds really cool.
But you guys, no, come on. We have to make it official that it's different.
Otherwise,
if you're still on, it's just the Fred and Geordies podcast, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's so just, you know, stay away.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, yeah, good luck with everything with your future, and we'll just...
Okay, we'll just cut it there. So, Isaac, thanks so much for coming in. I mean, it's been lovely to meet you. And,
yeah, thank you so much, man.
And
like,
for me,
I guess you got to see the end of the pod. So, yeah thanks to thanks to everyone, I guess, as well, for listening over the last year and a bit. And
thanks a lot. We'll still have the radio show. That's fine.
Yeah, well, we've had such great support, and we really would like to say thanks, but this is how it ends. So, okay. Well, and you've got some shows that you'd like to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, what have you...
Sorry. We hijacked that. You should be in.
Yeah. No, so I've got Adelaide Fringe coming up.
Yeah, cool.
Okay. Straight after that, I've got Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So it's going to be a pretty busy time, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So in Adelaide Fringe, I'm down in Gluttony, the Peacock, every night of Fringe except for Monday nights.
Awesome.
And then at Melbourne, I'm at the Athenaeum Theatre, right in the city there, every night of the festival as well, except for Monday nights as well. So that starts on the 23rd of March through to the 17th of April, and Adelaide Fringe starts this Friday.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's kind of be a bit awkward now because, I mean, I guess you've got the listeners, but I was going to give away some tickets.
Yeah, I feel in a
weird place. Well, that's a great parting gift, right?
Yeah,
it is. It is. Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
You're right.
So,
how many tickets do we have to give away?
Well, look, I 10 doubles for each festival.
Jeez.
All right, well, we'll work out some kind of giveaway thing and... And yeah, that will be on Facebook, and good luck with your shows.
Whoever is the first person to listen to Jenny Froglicker the Third's Trabian, they get it. They all get the tickets. Yeah. Well, I'll take five, and you can put it on your
fair,
podcast, whatever
maybe
it is.
Maybe half.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, we could
six,
split
four,
it.
6-4?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I'm getting six.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two of us and one of you, but yeah, that's fine. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, I don't know. You guys have six, I'll have four.
Let's make this amicable.
That's very nice of you, Jordan. All right, so, yeah. Thanks, guys, for all the fun times. I guess should we
finish it off with champagne showers? You love that one, right?
The classic. Yeah, right. Okay, cool.
Just quickly as well. If your listeners want to hear, you know, see anything more of my work, it's just isaaclomond.com.au.
That's right. And it'll also be on Studio 10 tomorrow morning, which will be Tuesday.
In the past, when this podcast
probably
comes out.
Sorry. Later. You can probably look it up online.
But sorry, how do you spell your last name?
L-O-M-M-A-N.
Okay, cool.
And Isaac's ISAAC.
Yep, right. ISAAClomman .com.
.au.
.au.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much for being here.
So, okay. This is Tom, Robbie, Jordan, and Isaac.
Jenny Froglicker
the Third. Jenny Froglicker the Third. Signing off for the last time.
Really sentimental about this, but excited about the future.
Okay. Right. See you later.
Sleep.